All right, well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being willing to maneuver yourself this direction. We ran out of space in the other place. My self-esteem was built up, you know, having to get new space, but appreciate you guys being here. So if you're not sure if you're in the right class, this is, what is the name of my class again? Just drew a blank. Thoughts and emotions and impacting, right. So if you think you're supposed to be somewhere else, there's still time to head to the other place. So let me go ahead and open us up in prayer. Get started. Lord God, thank you again for another opportunity to go to your word, to talk about our emotions, our thoughts, and our relationships and the way that we're impacted by them. And Lord, I pray that you would open our ears to what you would have us hear today. I pray, Lord, that in spite of me, that your spirit would be at work and would teach and disrupt and affirm and increase awareness and do all the work that you want to accomplish in our time today. And just thank you for just again a chance to gather and to study your word and to glean the wisdom that's from it. We give this time to you now and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So a couple little announcements before we jump in. First, I'm going to go ahead. I'll have handouts in the back from now on. Instead of on the side at the other place. I probably will not have them up here. I imagine folks, this door will probably open up a couple times and then close, and then people will go around to the back, but we'll have them in the back. I will not be planning to print out handouts from previous weeks, or if you didn't get one before, because we are putting them on online. And that'll just save paper. And so recording the class, so if you ever have to miss a class and you want to stay in the loop, you can go to the website, and I think you just go to one of the tabs at the top where it says ministries, and then click under Sunday School, and then the class, and so there'll be an audio version of the class, and then also a PDF of the handout that you can get from there. Okay. All right. Any other questions at all before we start? I'm sure there's a few floating around, but as the class goes on, we're gonna plan to have more discussion and more opportunity on the front end often of these kinds of classes. There's a lot of information to kind of download, and so I never dislike classes where I'm the only one talking. I get very tired of hearing myself talk, so I look forward to having more interaction as the class goes along, and also even tempering back some of the content a little bit to allow time at the end of class to be able to talk. So that's a direction we're trying to move. So, okay, so as we jump in, I always want to start out with a summary, just to kind of so we know where we're going. All right, so I'm going to start out by reading a passage that we read last week together. It's known as the Great Commandment. This is in Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Okay, it goes like this. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So this was one of our main points last week, is that in God's image that we've been created in, he has created us to be integrated. Okay, that's one of those words that we've used a few times. And this great commandment reinforces that. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so he is saying by design that as we move towards him vertically, relationally, as we move towards others, And then the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, is other-centered and is based on our embodied person. Okay, so we're moving towards someone and loving them, not just in thought, but also in motion, and in our body, in our nonverbal communication, everything about us as we move towards people and as we move towards God is not just a part of us, but it's all of us. Okay, and that's a point that we made last week. And just looking in the commentary here in the scripture concerning that verse, reinforces that heart, soul, and mind do not represent rigid compartments of human existence, but rather together refer to the whole person. So it's very, very affirming and very confirming that that's the way he's designed us, and it gives us what we are to shoot for and a goal in the way that we relate, the way God's designed us. Okay. The next point that we spent quite a bit of time on is that emotions are the overflow of what we love, care about, and are concerned about. Okay. And as you can see here, we're not just talking about the great commandment, both other-centered love, but also our emotions overflow out of self-absorbed love, okay, at times. And that's the entrance of sin into our life. We no longer fulfill the great commandment. In fact, Scripture talks about how no one is righteous, not one, and we are all very self-absorbed for the most part. In fact, it's also validated that forget the location of the verse, but where it says, each of us should not only look to our own interests, that's a given, but also to the interests of others, all right? So the truth is that we often don't gravitate towards the other-centered love in the Great Commandment, and our love is prone to be self-absorbed. So, and that's from Luke 6:45. Okay. All right. We talked about how emotions help us to evaluate what we worship. Okay. We use the word picture of evaluating our emotions similar to doing an audit of our finances or doing an audit of our priorities. Okay. So we mentioned if you are curious about what your priorities are, you can look at your schedule and you can see how you're stewarding your time, and that whether you verbally say what's important to you and what you love and value, and taking that and then comparing it to what are you actually doing. And then your schedule can be an affirmation or a confirmation or a dismissal of. Brings things into the light in terms of what's going on with our finances. If you're not sure what your priorities are or where they are financially, look at your checkbook. If my son was here, what's a checkbook? No, it's basically wherever you can go online or go to your phone and figure out where your money's going and where it is. But that is an objective way to be able to look at and audit your finances. So the same way with emotions. And Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Okay, so how are we to guard our heart if we are not objectively making an effort to look at and to audit? Okay, what are our emotions? And what are they pointing to? And, okay, we know that our emotions communicate that we love and value and we're concerned about. What are those things? Wow, are those things that fulfill the great commandment? Or are they things that are more about me and that are more self-absorbed? Okay? So that's something we took some time to talk about. And then we also talked about how emotions enliven our worship and help us to see the world as it is. Okay, so a couple of key words there. So enliven our worship and help us take God's world and glory seriously. Okay, so we spent some time reminding, as if we need a reminder, that the world is a broken place and that There is a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of despair. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of brokenness. And so God does not want us to have a stiff upper lip towards the brokenness of our world. He wants us to have, he wants us to be wants to be discouraged and want us to be deeply sad when somebody that we love passes away. Okay, he doesn't want us to, oh, well, just, you know, God's sovereign, all things work for the good, right? So, and God's glory, but we do want to long for and be genuinely excited for and drawn to our future hope. So this side of heaven, everything that we experience emotionally is going to be a mixed bag. And God says that that's by design. Okay? And so that can enliven our worship by living and relating with that mixed bag of emotions, so to speak. Okay? So that's where we, that's what we covered last week. Okay? And I think I'd encourage you guys to bring handout two from last week. I decided to go ahead and push a few of those slides from last week into this handout. So so we're going to pick up with where we left off here. We had already talked about how emotions communicate value. Okay, that was the things that we're loving and concerned about. And then the enlivening of our worship. And now we are talking about and the evaluation of what we worship, the audit part. And now we're covering emotions and how they motivate us. So last week we acknowledged that without our emotional side of the brain, okay, remember how we talked about there's folks that just seem really, really stoic and they don't seem to ever really show emotion. That might have been the, you know, we stereotype the computer chip person or the person that's just a brain, and then, you know, the touchy-feely person who might be more and more expressive and verbal with their emotions. And we talked about those last week a little bit. But we acknowledge that even that person that maybe is not as verbal or expressive with their emotions, that they are emotionally alive and well. Okay? And the truth is that if we did not have that emotional side of the brain, we'd be completely still at best and dead at worst. Okay? Remember if we talked about that. If you didn't have emotions, you wouldn't eat. You would not sleep. If you're in physical pain, you wouldn't know it because your emotions and all that would not be telling you that. So we talked about that. And so our emotions are God's way of helping us to move and put our values into action, and that's the motivation there. Okay. Just to take a second on back to that stoic person, I was thinking about 9/11, since that was recent. So maybe you can think of folks that may be more stoic, and you don't see a lot of emotion from them. They're just sort of, you know, just kind of, they're on the move quite a bit, but you don't really sense that a lot. And I've got to believe that a lot of first responders that might be that way, okay, what did they do anyway in their possible fear that they were thinking and feeling at that point when they saw the tower on fire and they made their way into the building? What might they have been feeling and thinking at that moment?
I need to save somebody.
Sure. Oh, I need to say, I thought you said I need to say something. I'm sorry.
No, save.
Oh, I need to save something. Right, okay. So this person, not verbally expressive, okay, but they were deeply invested and motivated to do what they had to do at that moment. Okay, for some of the older generation in here, D-Day, okay, coming off of those, whatever those ships are where the thing opens up on the water. Anybody tell me what that is? When they're, what is it?
LST.
LST boats, okay. And the fire coming their way. If you've seen Saving Private Ryan, I'm sure that there was a mix of emotionally expressive people on those boats as well as folks that were maybe more stoic. But in their fear and in their anger, they were invested and they moved forward as the bullets were coming their way. So again, the point, our emotions motivate us. It's not just those that are verbally expressive, but those that are even maybe a little more quiet. Okay. All right. So they give us physical energy and motivation to do things. Okay. Anger, for example, is often a surge of energy. All right. So consider anger for a second. Your heart begins to pound, right? Your temperature rises and adrenaline begins to rush through your veins. Suddenly, it's like you've got to actually do something about your anger. It's a call to action. And that's often why folks that are in that angry place often show their anger in physical ways, okay, because of that surge of energy. You might, in a more benign situation, you might shut the door a little bit louder. I'm sure nobody does that. You might shut the drawer in your dresser a little louder, you know, a little harder. Things get really out of hand. You know, you might end up you're taking dishes out of the dishwasher and you're actually breaking plates because you know you're not handling things carefully. When that anger turns into rage, you might be punching walls, and then something that it might be good has actually gone bad. So it ultimately feels like there is energy inside demanding to be released when that surge of anger comes. And it's often in a fight or flight sort of way. Okay. Fear. Think about fear for a minute. So fear is often a surge of energy too, but you often feel like running rather than fighting. Okay. Doesn't mean that always happened. I'm sure there was a tremendous amount of fear for those first responders going into the towers. And yet they still went there. So in that sense, that was a fear, and then there was fight. Okay. The D-Day folks as well, they didn't just get back on the boat. I imagine there were people that did do that because they were just horrified. But you can see where they both come. Think about the last time you were really afraid. Your heart begins to pound just like it does at times when you're angry. Maybe you begin to sweat. Your mouth goes really dry. Your palms get clammy. And so again, an energy surge as well, but there's a little bit more of a feeling about running at times. If you actually did run, I was talking to someone who had found out that there was a bear. In fact, that person might even be in this room here. I would not think about bringing them up, but Aaron. I mean, I, whoever it was, yeah. But when you're being chased by a bear, okay, it's good to be afraid, okay, and you turn and you are cooking, you are running, and you're probably running faster than you've ever run in your life. You might even be pulling hamstrings while you're running, and you won't even feel that pain because the chemicals in your body are just kind of shielding you from that. You might even end up tumbling and rolling down a hill, but that part didn't happen. So point being is that your fear affects you physiologically so that if you're truly in danger, you could actually flee that danger. So fear in that sense can be a really healthy thing. So a little bit about that. Okay, so we talked about fear. Let's see. And then we mentioned depression. All right, so depression often is a lack of energy, emotionally painful and flat and difficult to do anything, even getting out of bed. All right, so so depression, that particular emotion can motivate in a different way where it subdues everything and everything slows down. And everything goes flat, and even the things that you enjoy, you don't enjoy anymore. And there's just very little motivation to do anything. Okay, so emotions help motivate us. All right, so a few new things now. So emotions help us connect. All right, so sharing our emotions with each other, which takes vulnerability and risk, actually strengthens our relationships. Okay, so that's the first point we want to talk about here. So Have you ever noticed this in your own life? Think about some of the relationships and the people that you're closest to. Kind of take a quick mental inventory in your mind of who some of those people are. And probably one of the reasons that those relationships have the kind of connection that they have is because you have shared some of your deepest thoughts and feelings with them. Or at least you've experienced some really strong emotions together in your interactions. So there's a bonding that occurs there. And there's a risk. And yet, those of you that have friends that you would speak of that way, I think would be able to say that it's a blessing and it's well worth the risk. So that's a piece there, okay? So Romans 12:9, let your love be genuine. Okay, we use the word transparency in this case, which essentially means telling the truth, okay? So our love cares about and is concerned about our friends. So in this idea of love being genuine, if you read the whole passage of where Romans 12:9 it's followed by a laundry list of the many ways genuine love is expressed in relationships. And so ideally in our relationships and our friendships, we're actually being honest and genuine with them. And when we're willing to do that emotionally and relationally, there's a much deeper connection. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Okay, that's further on in the passage there. So, in other words, we share and connect emotionally by entering into the experiences of others, right? So instead of being on the outside looking in, you're actually alongside the person and walking with them. When they're sad, you enter into and experience their sadness. When they're happy, you enter into that happiness as well. Make sense? And that's really what we're shooting for. Now, I also want to say this, that weep with those who weep, just for example. That doesn't mean that if you move towards your friend and you're not actually weeping with them, it doesn't mean that you're disconnected with them. Okay, not everybody expresses their emotions in that way. You can think about friends in your life. There's a loyalty that's there, and it doesn't always have to have tears with it. Okay, does that make sense? I want folks to be freed up to know that this is not prescriptive. If you never weep and you don't cry over something that you love or care about, that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have that love and concern for them. It might be expressed in a different way. But it's a wonderful way to empathize and to come alongside a friend or someone that you care about. Okay. All right, so if others love me, they don't just understand my experiences, they are personally moved and invested in me. Okay, there's this idea of that was coined by, it was actually Daniel Siegel, one of his clients. Daniel Siegel is one of the references that I get, wrote the book called The Developing Mind. One of his clients talked about this idea of feeling felt. Okay, so as you think about connecting and spending time with another person, when you know that person that you're connecting with, they wouldn't necessarily come out and say I feel felt, right? But you can sense that connection's occurring, and that was a really telling way to communicate what empathy is. So again, empathy, you don't just understand someone's experience at a cognitive level, but you're personally moved by it and you're invested in it and you care about it because they're your friend. Or they're your child, coworker, relative. Okay. Okay. So, the previous categories that we talked about, the idea of emotions communicating value, enlivening our worship, evaluating our worship, are focusing primarily on our interactions and connections with our core values, the things that we, from our core, the things that we love and that we care about and that we're concerned about, as well as the world around us. But our emotions perform another role that underlies and shapes the other three that we have just talked about, two from last week and this one from this week. Our emotions reveal our connection to God. So one of the things here I want to just to talk about a little bit is this idea of compartmentalized. Okay, so our emotions are internal or external expressions of worship. Okay, so remember how we talked about worship is not merely something that happens on Sunday morning. Okay, I alluded to that last week. Okay, so think about it. Sometimes when we're at church, we think of the musical portion of the service, right? And we call that worship. And we contrast that with, well, now's the sermon. And now Tim's going to do the announcements, right? And, oh, we're going to have a baptism. And that's a part of the service. And then we're going to have communion, these kinds of things. And so we take the worship service, but we don't necessarily think about it in that integrated way. It's all of that together. And by the way, is it just on Sunday morning? Okay, is worship what happens, you know, for a couple of hours on Sundays? And then the rest, what happens the rest of the week, right? So what do we mean by compartmentalized? I gave an example there, just a way even how we might break up the service on a Sunday. We have a chance to discuss this. As we think about compartmentalize, what does it mean to compartmentalize worship during the week? Any thoughts on that?
Quiet time in the morning.
Sure. Yep. Quiet times in the morning. Yeah, thank. I need that reminder to repeat. Yep. Yeah. So maybe you like an organ. Okay, so right. So you know, you hang out, maybe talk to people, and then when the organ's done, you know, you come in, you know, for the service because I really like the preaching. Right? And then when the praise music starts, you might step out, you know, because I like the organ, right? So at that point, we're compartmentalizing, right? How about anybody else? These are great. Any other comments? Think about during the week, even. So we still had a quiet time, you know. Okay, so if I did my quiet time, I worshiped.
Prayers at meals.
What's that?
Prayer at meals.
Sure.
Bedtime prayer.
Yep, okay. So for the tape, quiet times we talked about, prayer at meals, during the course of the week, as a difference, choosing to realize that, no, God is not just in this box on Sunday, and my relationship with Him and worship is not just there, but during the week, we're actually, it's in the forefront of our mind. I wonder how I can love and serve and care for things that are important to me, and have it be an other-centered, discipline that you're following through on. Even just thinking about Romans, think about Romans 12, 1 and 2 there, but it says, and I just blanked out. Let's see, somebody start the verse and I'll remember how it goes. Romans 12, 1. Offer your bodies the living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship, right? Okay, so we are worshiping during, outside of Sunday morning, when we are actively offering our bodies, okay, not just, okay, so they need someone to serve, and so I take my body to that location, but you're, all of you, okay, in your relationships, your heart, your mind, your emotions, again, reinforcing that integrated call that the Lord has given us in our worship. So So I think of Sunday mornings, and we kind of alluded to a little bit, but I know that sometimes when I am at church, I'll walk in and they'll start playing a song, and the first thought might be, oh man, we just sang that song last week. Maybe I'm the only one who does that. A guest speaker. Tim's preaching today. I was really hoping that it was going to be Aaron, that kind of thing, And so at that moment, what are we doing? Of course, you're not like, oh, I wish Aaron was, you're not doing that. But when you're thinking those thoughts, what's going on internally? Connecting to worship. Anybody?
You don't want to be there.
Worship. Sure. Yeah. You're not fully invested. That's right. Right? Okay. Okay. So it's a shift from me-centered to God-centered. Did you hear those in the back? What's that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Now me-centered versus instead of
right. So now as I come to church and I enter into the service, entertain me, give me what I want. It's really about me feeling good during the service. And when I go, oh, that was a great message. I don't know what he said, but it was a great message. Or I really liked the song. I liked the music. I liked the preacher. Those kinds of things. Okay. All right, so that's how we can compartmentalize. And so at that moment, who are we worshiping?
Myself.
Right, yeah.
Okay, now back to God.
Sure, and there's not necessarily one proper path. There are many paths, but the idea at that moment is those thoughts are ruling you, right? And so those thoughts, and then the emotions come with it. Oh, man, And so they thoughts and emotions tend to travel together. Okay, so if you're thinking these thoughts of like, I'm disappointed, this is not what I want, then those emotions of disappointment will also accompany those thoughts, right? And so, but you still got truth to integrate into that. And so, and that's the point. So you're able to, hopefully at that moment, you're able to discern that, no, Aaron or Tim, it doesn't matter who preaches. God's sovereign, and God's going to speak through all the. And so there's a sense of where you're having a conversation with yourself, and that comes, that we're going to get way more into that later. We're talking about regulating our emotions to a certain degree. Okay, so just talk about taking our thoughts captive. So those thoughts come, and then to be able to be aware of what those thoughts are, and then to take them captive. Okay, so what am I believing by embracing these thoughts? Okay, and then, and even at that moment, Lord, I don't want to have these thoughts. I want to be engaged. I wholeheartedly am here, and I want to be engaged. And actually, in dependency, even just a silent prayer, Lord, search my heart, know my heart, try me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a really, really good approach. Now you're no longer judging the person who's there, but you're listening to the content and choosing to be teachable and to hear what they have to say. Yep. Okay. So again, moving on here. So scripture teaches that whether we are religious or not, we are always worshiping something. So again, talking about that principle of worship, it's not just this isolated Sunday morning hour or two, but it's our life. 24/7, every day of the week, right? And the truth is that whether we are dialed in spiritually or whether we are worshiping at church or not, we're always worshiping something. All of us have things that we love and care and concerned about. Okay, the question is, what are those things? And is that love and care and concern more self-focused or is it more other-focused? Okay. And Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will be your heart as well. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
That.
Sure. Yeah. So Gretchen is talking about, God has given us all unique likes and dislikes, and are we allowed to have preference? Okay, I prefer this speaker over that speaker, or I prefer these songs over these songs. Absolutely. Absolutely. The question is, what is ruling your heart at that moment? Okay, if that preference moves from being a desire to a demand, I must have this person speaking, I must have these songs, these kinds of things. Now it's shifted from I like something or I prefer this, but I must have. Okay, if a demand is there. And so again, God has definitely given us all preferences. So it's a question of what place in your heart does that preference have? Is it a must or is it a demand? Yeah, or a must or just preference. So I might come in, oh, Tim's speaking today, or Aaron's speaking today, or Greg's speaking, whatever. It could be any of us. Like, well, you know, I really connect. I tend to connect more, but, you know, it's okay because God's sovereign. And God can speak through whoever he has to be his messenger that day. As Dave was saying, it's not about who the messenger is, but what the messenger says. Okay? So it's a good point. Okay. All right. All right. Any other quick thoughts, questions? Okay. All right. So, yep. So Billy was talking about it in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how often is it that before we actually go to a service, what would it be like to think about the service as being we're going into spiritual battle to a certain degree? Am I able to set aside the things of my life that I am concerned about because we love and care about many things? Am I able to set some of those things aside and understand that in dependency, Lord, I want to be there to hear and to worship and to be a sponge and to soak up what's coming my way and be in awe of who you are and to worship you. And Billy was just suggesting that challenging us, how often do we actually pray that either Saturday night before? What does it look like to prepare our hearts in advance? You know, in some ways, you know, I'm an athlete, so I have to stretch before my games or else I'm going to not function very well. Okay, I'm going to pull something. I'm going to be distracted. Okay, what does it look like to stretch and to prepare yourself and to prepare your mind before you come into the designated corporate worship time on Sunday morning? And for that matter, the whole week. Okay, so that was what Billy was saying. All right. Okay, Jim.
The goal should be success.
Yeah, Joshua 1:8. Yeah. So, yeah, that's exactly right. And so that's being obedient, and that's our emotions moving us towards obedience. Okay, and I thought Todd made a great point this morning talking about how obedience and love are connected. I don't know, but it was in the first service. But Scripture says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and give myself to him. And, wow, that's dutiful. That's not love. No, I mean, we're talking of Genesis, you know, obligations. We have contractual things. How many of you ladies that have young children? Oh, I just can't wait to change that diaper. Oh, and it's blown out. That's even better. You know? No. You do that for your child because you love that child. Right? Okay? Doing the dishes, you know, vacuum, I mean, you name it. There are just hundreds of things that we do. And, well, you know, it's not really that meaningful if I'm just doing it with this is something that I need to do. Okay? I bet you, again, that first responder, I'm sure that they'd rather not be going, right? But they are motivated by duty and by loyalty and by love and the things that they care about. They want to honor the training that they've had and represent their field of work well and the people that they work with, etc. So, all right, let me keep moving here. So again, the greatest commandment, God spells it out. It's the whole person. It's all of us. Okay. And we've hinted to this. Love of God means dependency, obedience, other-centeredness, and those are not things that we gravitate towards. We gravitate towards independence. We gravitate towards, instead of obedience, following our own authority and what we think and what we feel like doing. Okay? And certainly, we've already established that we are much more self-absorbed than we are other-centered. So, you can see how that all works. All right. All right, so emotions are confusing. Our next point here. All right. So emotions come in as a crowd and surge at us. Okay? So I want you to think about the fact here that as we've said, your worship, your love, your treasures, and how you approach life are made up of 1,000 concerns and thoughts and responses to different situations. Okay, so think of it this way. Your emotional state at any moment is like a paint bucket. Okay, so if anybody's ever gone to Home Depot or Lowe's and, you know, you have your little color tabs or whatever and you want to get some paint, right? So you go and they pull off a can of white paint and they take you over to the counter and they punch the code in for the color, right? And then, these little jets start, putting this little formula together and voila, you have this beautiful Columbia blue or whatever color that you happen to decide to paint in, right? All right. So the computer is putting all those specific amounts in and coming up with this color. It's pretty amazing, actually. If there's any change or any deviation at all, okay, a touch more of black or a drop of crimson that maybe was supposed to be that wasn't, then you have some other color or shade all the way that's not going to cut it in terms of what you're trying to do, right? So our emotional state is like that, all of us, okay? So your heart all the time is pouring out streams of emotion into the paint of your heart, okay? Sometimes it's just a trickle, sometimes it's a torrent, okay? And every one of those jets represents a different care or concern or a love that you have at that given moment. So the vast majority of the time, we are awash with many, many different emotions, even conflicting emotions, which make them very confusing at times. Now, sure, there might be some regular, clear kinds of things that happen. You find out that your child was, bullied at school, and then you find yourself angry, okay, appropriately so, and but that anger is definitely, it's connected specifically to that one incident. But most of the time, the experience that we have every day is many, many jets of colors going in. And it can look different every day. That's why often at times, on any given day, okay, so your toddler spills something on the floor, your response, is it always the same? No. Okay. So, I can't believe it, you clean it up and maybe you're a little rigid with how you just go and sit here and, this kind of thing. Or, oh, hey, it's okay, and you're tender with them because all toddlers spill things, right? And you have a different, there's a softness and a gentleness to it. But, our responses are influenced by so many, many things. How you slept the night before. What terms you and your husband are on that particular when you left for work that day. How you felt about that Facebook picture that you saw. Remember that picture that all of your friends were together, but you weren't in the picture, right? What you had for breakfast that day. How many times you had to go back and forth to the bathroom before you went to work. Do you have a packed schedule coming, or is it a relaxed day? And you can just go on and on, and every one of those is like a little jet of color going into that paint and into your heart, and it's influencing the way that you feel during the course of the day. So there's one other example here, and then we're going to stop. Another story that I read that I thought was helpful. So you have a mom who has two daughters, okay? One's a senior, and another one's about a 9th or 10th grader. Well, this mom is in despair because she's not able to celebrate in the joy of her senior. You know, you got prom coming up, you've got, you know, graduation coming up, visiting colleges, all these kinds of things, and just, you know, the mom is wanting to be really excited and engaged with the older daughter because of all that's going on, okay? And she can't understand why she just doesn't have any excitement or motivation for any of that. But there's a piece that's missing. She has that 9th and 10th grade daughter, okay? Turns out that ninth grader or 10th grader is having to have a major surgery a week later, a week or two down the road, and it's a surgery that needs to occur because the first surgery wasn't successful. Okay, so she is very preoccupied with that. Okay, but in response to that, instead of both can coexist, I can be excited for my older daughter, but I'm so concerned and worried about that. The approach that she took was to beat herself up. I'm such a terrible mom because I'm not excited for my senior who has a prom and who's going to be graduating and has so much to look forward to. And so instead of being able to acknowledge that both negative emotions, as we've talked about, those appropriate sadness and anxiety and concern and care for a daughter that is in distress and the future is not known, is this surgery, you know, and being genuinely experiencing those emotions at the same time as her senior daughter, where there's some joy and hope and excitement. And so the point being is that there's a mixed bag of emotions, and that is life, folks. That's where life is most of the time. Okay, so it's not that she does not have joy and excitement for her daughter, but the paint colors that are going in are influencing, you know, the way that you are feeling, right? And so that was, I thought that was a really helpful story just in terms of understanding how it can be so confusing sometimes. But often what we do, if we're not genuinely feeling excitement for something, we don't necessarily take inventory of all that's going on. And then we just assume that, oh, there must be something wrong with me. And you start blaming yourself for that. Or, you know, you start blaming everybody else. Well, that teacher's a jerk and da, 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 da. And you know, you just... anything to distract you from what's going on internally. So our time is up, I think, right? Okay. So we will hit the pause button here.